The great 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote these words: "Stand at the foot of the cross and count the scarlet drops by which you have been cleansed. See the thorny crown and his scourged shoulders, gushing with the crimson flow of blood. See his hands and feet given up to the rough iron, and his whole self mocked and scorned. Hear the chilling shriek, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Charles Spurgeon said, "If you're not humbled in the presence of Jesus, you don't know him. As Jesus stooped for you, bow in humility at his feet." And so as we come for the next few minutes to consider the cross of Christ and share communion, we can't afford to think that what we're doing this evening is a mere exercise. It's not a routine that we go through as a church or as an individual Christian. And although reading and understanding a passage like this is crucial, and although when we share communion we're following the instructions of Jesus himself, if we leave this room having thought about this passage, having taken the bread and wine without being humbled by Jesus, then Spurgeon suggests that there's a problem with our hearts. In fact, he'd ask us the question, do you really know Jesus? And the death of Jesus certainly was a horror show. He's already, by this point in Matthew's gospel, been publicly humiliated, stripped, mocked, spat upon. And as midday now approaches, Jesus has been hanging from the cross for 3 hours. His hands are nailed to a wooden beam and his feet to a pole. He's exposed to intense physical pain and merciless ridicule. And as the scenes that have led up to this point have been described by Matthew, everyone has abandoned him. Judas has betrayed him. Peter has denied him. The disciples have fled. The high priest has condemned him. Pilate has delivered him, and the crowds have been calling for his blood. Soldiers have crucified him. Robbers have insulted him, and passers-by continue to scorn him. And as darkness now sweeps over the entire land, verse 45, Jesus is abandoned by God himself. And that's the first big thought for us. Jesus is abandoned by God. At the birth of Jesus, if you were to read it in Matthew chapter 2, light showered down. As Jesus was born, it was a star that guided the way for the wise men. But at the death of Jesus, the land is shrouded in darkness. From midday through to 3 p.m, blackness cloaks everything. And this isn't a solar eclipse. This is a supernatural act of God. In the Bible, darkness is a frightening symbol of God's judgment. Darkness is one of the plagues in the book of Exodus that God brings against Pharaoh. And in Matthew 25, Jesus himself uses imagery of outer darkness to describe hell, the place where people are abandoned to face God's judgments. And so at this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus isn't dying the death of a martyr. This isn't about him setting us an example. If that were the case, God would look on him with favour. But instead, at this moment, as God looks down on his son, he turns away. He can't tolerate the sight of him. Jesus has become sin, and so God abandons him in judgment. This is confirmed by what we see at the heart of these verses, the cry that comes from the lips of Jesus. Jesus made several statements from the cross, but Matthew focuses on this one. He draws special attention to it. He tells us in verse 46 that Jesus cried out in a loud voice. Jesus didn't want to mutter this. Jesus was making an announcement. He was letting us know what was happening to him at that point. Have a look again. We get it in Aramaic as well as English. "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, this isn't a cry of unbelief. It's not that Jesus lacks faith or trust. And this isn't a cry of confusion. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He'd predicted it. Actually, what's going on here is Jesus is quoting from Psalm 22, the scripture that the Jews had no doubt recited and memorized. A psalm that was originally penned by a man called King David. And in this psalm, he was expressing his feelings of anguish and alienation. And as Jesus now takes these words on his lips, they're fulfilled. He is in anguish. He is alienated. He is the true king, abandoned by God. And there are various bystanders, and they would be familiar with these characters, Elijah. They would hear the words. And these bystanders should be petrified at this moment. They should know something of what's going on. They should be humbled. But actually, their response seems cruel and sarcastic. One man offers Jesus a cheap drink, and the rest stand back and they're entertained by his suffering. And perhaps for us, this passage may be very familiar. We may understand the significance of the darkness, or we may know what Jesus was saying when he cried those words. But tonight, what Matthew wants us to see and hear is all of it again. To feel the gravity of what Jesus endured and to be humbled. You see, it's only because Jesus died that people like me and people like you can have life. It's only as Jesus is abandoned here at the cross that people like us can have access to God. And so Jesus was abandoned, second thought, to open access to God. Have a look at verse 50. At this moment, as Jesus yields up his spirit, our attention is drawn elsewhere. The consequences of the death of Jesus are huge. And so Matthew leaves the scene at Golgotha and he takes us on a journey across Jerusalem. Verse 51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. First stop, the temple. Or to be more precise, the Holy of Holies, the symbolic dwelling place for God. A place that no one is ever allowed to enter. This curtain is a constant reminder that God is separate from man. It's a 10 metre by 20 metre no access allowed sign. Not even a priest is good enough to have access to God. And no amount of animal blood can really deal with the problem of the human heart. But at the moment Jesus dies, that's when this barrier is torn in two. When sin has been paid for, when judgment has been exhausted, God throws his arms wide and says, "Come in, you can know me." And this is humbling, isn't it? So much of our time, and I speak for myself here, I put my confidence in the position I hold. Or we think that we can earn credit with God. Not because we're priests, but because we're principled. Or subtly, we put our confidence in the sacrifices that we make. We don't sacrifice animals, but we perhaps give up our time or our money, as we have done this evening. But Matthew reminds us that it is only as Jesus is abandoned that access to God is opened. There's no other way. We can only bow in humility at the feet of Jesus. The next stop on the journey, the cemetery, verse 52. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. The death of Jesus is literally earth-shattering. And Matthew at this point drops a little spoiler into his section of the gospel. He's describing the events that are occurring a few days later after Jesus himself has been raised. And again, unique to his account, we find that holy people or people of God, Christians, are raised to new life. You see, because Jesus conquers death, raising his followers, raising people who believe in him is like shaking somebody out of sleep. And so do you see, Matthew is showing us that access to God is available. But more than that, it's not just access now, it's access forever. The curtain is torn and the tombs are cracked. The death of Christ leads to life with God for eternity. And so as we prepare to take the bread and the wine, let's return just for a moment to the scene of the crucifixion. Matthew contrasts the earlier response of the bystanders with those of this centurion and his gang. Verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." These people were practiced executioners, hardened and ruthless. But as the events of this day unfold, they're deeply changed. They stand in awe. They're overwhelmed with a sense of reverence and fear. The lifeless body that hangs before them on a cross is none other than the Son of God, abandoned by God so that we might have access to God.